Hello and welcome to the NBA Outlet presented by OGGBasketball.com. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me, as always, Corey Waldron and two guests today, Jack Manuel and Dom Rooney. What's up, guys?
Day two fire as always.
How's it going, guys?
Free agency. It's hot. It's getting hotter.
Yeah, it is definitely hot in the Northeast. It's not cooling down. There's been a ton of chatter. Obviously, yesterday we did day one, and then minutes after we did the LeBron, the Lakers show. So definitely check that out on iTunes, Blog Talk, OGGBasketball.com, and Google Play. But guys, plenty to talk about today. We're going to kind of touch on LeBron to the Lakers a little bit more. After we did our show, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope re-signed for 1 year, $12 million. Lance Stephenson, 1 year, $4.5 million. JaVale McGee, 1 year, $2.4 million. And then Rajon Rondo just signed today, 1 year, $9 million. So what are your thoughts on the roster so far that LeBron has in L.A.?
When did L.A. become the land of misfit toys? I mean, what the hell's going on?
Exciting locker room.
Yeah, normally we're talking about, you know, surrounding LeBron with shooters, getting shooters, get him shooters, you know, get him Kyle Korver, get him this guy, get him that guy. No, we'll get him Rajon Rondo. No, we'll get him Lance Stephenson. No, we'll get him JaVale McGee. We'll keep KCP, which I don't mind defensively. But in terms of the fit, it doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, LeBron was saying he wanted high IQ guys. I guess Rajon Rondo is that. I don't know if Lance Stephenson and JaVale McGee are that. It's odd. It's a very odd composition of a team. You could certainly tell that LeBron James certainly didn't have a say in this. I mean, he's enjoying his time in Italy with his wife, Savannah. So just some odd moves. I'm interested to see, you know, the Rondo signing. Is that a precursor to a possible movement of Lonzo Ball, or are they both going to be sort of playing, sharing the one position? So it's questionable, but, you know, who knows what could happen.
You know, I actually had the same mindset that you did, Jack, for a little while. And then a little bit ago, I realized these moves might be used as assets in order for them to trade with the Spurs in order to get Kawhi. Because I know that there are rumors that the trades aren't exactly lining up to the Spurs' liking. And these could possibly be used as assets in order to get Kawhi. Because, like you said, this isn't exactly what we pictured when we talk about the Lakers super team that was going to be lined up between the next two summers.
Yeah, one thing to touch on that, these guys, most of them won't be able to be traded until later on to the season. Usually free agents, you can't just flip them. So I believe it's sometime in December that you're allowed to start trading them. But there is a possibility the Kawhi trade could take all the way to later in the season, or they could trade these guys in another deal, because 1 year expiring deals are always popular in the NBA. You know, you have cap space going to the next offseason.
Yeah, it's been an interesting day in La La Land. you know, where it's almost like the Lakers are in La La Land because of, you know, some of the signings. I mean, I like the Stephenson signing. I mean, I think we can all agree the Lakers are going to be a team that you want to keep your eyes on almost at all times, between LeVar off the court and, you know, Lonzo, Rondo, Lance Stephenson, LeBron. I mean, it's crazy. You know, Ramon Shelbourne, she tweeted recently that the Lakers are pretty darn sure that LeBron is fine with any move they're making right now because the communication is very strong. So I have to believe that them bringing in Rondo and Lance Stephenson was all given some sort of okay by LeBron. Maybe it was just like a quick text between him and Magic. But, you know, it just, for whatever reason, they're going after kind of win now guys. I think the Rondo signing in particular is a bigger move to try and get Cousins. They've had they have a very good relationship. They've already played together in Sacramento, New Orleans last year. So maybe that's just, you know, one chess piece to get a bigger chess piece. But I can say that normally LeBron wants shooters all around him, and he isn't necessarily getting those kind of shooters at this point in time.
Yeah, and there's still probably plenty of moves the Lakers will make. But the way I kind of envision is LeBron is kind of adding guys that he thinks will help beat the Warriors. You look at Lance, he's a guy that has annoyed LeBron his whole career. Now he can annoy somebody on Golden State. Is it Steph? Is it Clay? Is it AD? He knows that he kind of needs that on his side. And Rajon Rondo, he's always been really complimentary of him, you know, mentioning how he's such a high IQ basketball player, calling out sets, all that. JaVale McGee kind of gives him the big. KCP, that 3-and-D, obviously kind of working that three-point shot a little bit. But do you guys think since they sign Rondo, they're more likely to move Lonzo now?
Yeah, David, look, that's the rumor going around. David Griffin on NBA TV mentioned it. I think that this talk's coming out that, you know, Lonzo Ball wants to compete, and, you know, that the talks of, like, the competition, you know, both players are ready for it. It's certainly a win-now move. I'm not 100% sure if Lonzo does get moved. We know LeBron had that secret conversation when the Lakers came to Cleveland. I think it seems likely if they're going to be making a move in a trade for Kawhi Leonard, but at the same time, it could be 50-50.
They could possibly bring it in for the Kemba Walker trade as well. I know that Dylan, on his Rookie Report podcast that me and Jack were on, he definitely liked the idea of flipping Lonzo for Kemba to bring Kemba to the Lakers.
It works for both sides.
That's interesting. I mean, I don't see Lonzo being moved at all. You know, even Ramon Shelburne tweeted, too, that LeBron said Saturday night that he really likes Lonzo's game and is really excited to play with him. If LeBron actually feels that way, I don't see why Magic would move Lonzo, especially given just the one season we've had to see him. And also, if he was to be traded, it'd be a little bit harder if he did just tear his meniscus. I don't see him being moved, though.
It's definitely an interesting thing. You know, like you guys mentioned, LeBron definitely needs shooters, so they definitely need that kind of element. Obviously, J.J. Redick as well. But who are some other names you could see the Lakers adding? I know Tyreke Evans has been rumored, obviously, to Marcus Cousins. What do you think is going to be some of the next moves for L.A.?
I mean, Carmelo Anthony, isn't it obvious? I think it seems very, very likely, just as a not as just like a basketball move, but as an absolute troll move to add Carmelo Anthony. They'll add in Dwight Howard. Who knows what's next? Tyreke Evans would be actually a decent enough fit. And that's why I don't see it happening, because I think Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka are like trolling with the NBA world, because, you know, you need 3-point shooters on this team. Tyreke Evans is good. Melo is, you know, actually a decent catch and shoot 3-point player. But like all these players that they've got, they're sort of acquiring, need the basketball in their hands. You know, you add in Brandon Ingram as well, who works better with the ball in his own hands. Lonzo, obviously, as well. But Lonzo can obviously pass quite well. Rondo needs the ball in his hands a little bit. And then, of course, you've got the best player in the world, who is the best floor general in any sense of the word, in LeBron James. And, of course, Lance. Lance does his best dancing and such when he has the ball in his hands. I just hope they get a freaking 3-point shooter, but I don't know if they're going to do it.
Wayne Ellington's still out there. That's a guy I would keep an eye on. I feel like that would be a big move. I know there's been maybe a couple mentions of that, but like Jack said, they need shooting. I don't know where they're going to get it, but they need to add a couple shooters, because that's when LeBron's at his best.
And just to butt in real quick, you know, they also, after the Rondo signing, they now have $5.6 million in cap space left. So unless they make a move or they release somebody, they really realistically can't go after, you know, anyone else. And Wayne Ellington might be one of the last guys they target, who obviously was on the team a couple of years ago too. And like you said, Nick, he would be a good shooter to have next to LeBron.
And they could also get fancy. You know, they could make a couple of trades. They have a lot of young assets. There's guys out there. They could make some moves. I wouldn't be super surprised if Kyle Korver somehow ended up with the Lakers, because LeBron seemed to like playing with him a lot. So I think there's definitely, because obviously the spacing on this roster so far is a question mark.
I hope they get Seth Curry. That'd be funny. That would be an interesting one.
Yeah.
Seth Curry going against Steph and being the guy to hit the Kyrie Irving type three to win the finals.
especially seeing them match up, since they play, you know, like the same one-on-one against each other. That'd be cool. Any other thoughts on the Lakers before we move on to some of the other signings, guys?
Yeah, just on their 3-point shooting. At David Morrow posted on Twitter the 3-point shooting last year in terms of percentages. Josh Hart was 39.6%. Mo Wagner in college was 39.4%. Ingram was 39%, was less than 30% in his rookie year. Caldwell Pope was 38.3%, but as a career 35% shooter. LeBron 36.7, Kuzma 36.6, Rondo 33.3, and Lance 28.9. So they're in some desperate need of 3-point shooting, as those percentages indicate.
I need a button. I'll wait. I'll wait. I just got a notification that Tyreke Evans is going to the Pacers.
Wow, oh, I know someone's excited over there. We'll talk about that next. Yeah, just give us one more Laker note. Julius Randle was also renounced today. So they took away the qualifying offer. He's an unrestricted free agent. What are your thoughts on Randle leaving?
Got a feel for him, don't you? Got a feel for him. He's done some great things for the – he, you know, built up. You know, there was some question marks about him mid-season in terms of where he's fit. But, you know, he had a nice chat with Luke Walton and absolutely rehabilitated his game. I think there'll be some teams clamoring for him. I think he will be a nice fit in a lot of places. Our Nets have been rumored like crazy. I think it'd actually be a better fit in the opposite New York franchise, but that's a discussion for another day. But yeah, interesting decision. Obviously, they want to keep that space, keep that flexibility. But there's also a possibility that he could be using a sign and trade as well, if you know Boogie or Kawhi were still to be on their radar.
Yeah, it'll definitely.
That's a very good point, especially a sign and trade with the Pelicans.
I think it'll be interesting to see. I expected them to renounce it anyway, but that was in terms of them making room for Kawhi or Paul George at the time. But at this point, who knows?
Yeah, I mean, if they I was just saying, at this point, when they're moving towards more vets, it just seems like Julius Randle's an odd man out.
Like, they almost didn't want him, like, the whole time he was there.
Didn't
like,
even give an offer. Didn't even meet with him, from what I heard.
Yeah, they didn't – well, they tried to trade him. They benched him the first half of the season, even though he was playing great. So definitely a really interesting situation with there. And there's also some rumors that he didn't want to stay with the Lakers as well after LeBron signed. But, Corey, tell us about the Pacers and Tyreke Evans signing to a one-year deal.
I don't know if it's positive now, but, like, Grant, like, a lot of the Pacer guys are retweeting it from a Sneaker Reporter. I know he's a guy who follows the league, so I actually don't know if it's confirmed, but he's saying – I don't know. He's tweeting like sneak bomb. He looks pretty confident. Like Grant Asif is retweeting it too. But I don't actually see like a confirmed thing. So I don't know if it's true. But if it is true, you know, that's awesome for the Pacers. That's a guy who can play, make, who can shoot, can do a little bit of everything. After they waived Al Jefferson about an hour ago, it freed up $14 million, which then made me think they were going to go after possibly Tyreke Evans. And, you know, a one-year deal, why not?
Yeah, definitely. It sounds like you're a lot happier than a Doug McDermott signing.
Someone who can play making can take a little bit of an offensive load, you know, off of, you know, Oladipo's shoulders. He doesn't have to do as much with the ball.
Yeah, definitely a nice fit, and he can even run that second unit too if Oladipo's going to the bench, and he's coming off a big season, so another one-year deal to kind of prove himself. I think it works out for the Pacers. Jack and Dom, what do you think on it?
Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot. I think that he's going to be a nice sort of fit. I think it makes Corey somewhat happier, and you know he'll leave some of his hair in place with the Doug McDermott sign, so balances it out a little bit for our boy. I think you know, he had an awesome season last year, 19-5-5. I think he can do lots of different things. He'll have to work on his playing off the ball, and I think that'll be fine. You know, with a guy like Victor Oladipo, great offensive player, great offensive year, and nice signing from Indiana.
I think it'll work out really well, like you said, Nick, with him coming off the bench maybe to be the Oladipo of the second unit. I think that would be a nice fit.
Yeah, definitely not a bad signing for the Pacers, kind of add to them and hopefully move them farther in the playoffs. Or now moving on to some other signings, you know, we'll kind of mix in the re-signings and signings. Mario Hezonja agreed to sign with the New York Knicks yesterday, one-year deal, $6.5 million. What are your thoughts on this one, guys?
Salty, Nick. I'm salty, mate. We've been talking about him on the buzz quite a bit, so I was a bit annoyed with that. But, you know, at the same time, you know, $6.5 million seems a little bit elevated in today's market, but at the same time, it's a one-year deal, and we're seeing a lot of these sort of make-good deals in the 1 year. So I'm hoping to see some highlights from Hezonja in New York. And who knows, he could be on our Nets next year, or he could you know, recommit and play along KP for some extended years. But, you know, nice signing from New York. You know, they're making some okay moves, low-key.
I don't know much. I haven't watched Hezonja's game very much, but from what I've seen, he's relatively going to be a good pickup for them, especially in a franchise where they don't really have much of a direction. And I've heard a lot of speculation lately that there's some issues with the front office and Porzingis. So I don't really know where that's going. But yeah, I think it's a good pickup.
Yeah, I mean, he's a raw prospect. In glimpses last year with the Orlando Magic, we saw his ability to score seemingly at will. I know he has a ton of confidence. I think a couple of years ago he said he was like the best. I don't know the exact comment. I know he said something about him being like, you know, the best player in a couple of years or something like that. But now
he called himself like the international Kobe or something one time.
That's right. Yeah, that's what it was. That's what it was. Yeah, some, you know, crazy take, but. Who knows, you know, in the city of where anything can happen, the city that never sleeps, you got a bigger market. There are minutes to be played for guys who can actually score on that Knicks team. With Courtney Lee possibly on the way out, it could be even more minutes for him. I like to pick up, you know, for the Knicks, it's for me, you know, low risk, high reward.
Yeah, it's a smart move. It's a good move by the Knicks. And it's like I said, one-year deal, maybe a little bit more than you want to pay, but getting him on the one-year deal. And I believe he had other offers on the table for multi-years, but he wanted the one-year deal with the Knicks to kind of prove himself because they promised him minutes and an opportunity in New York. But moving on to another Orlando Magic guy, former Orlando Magic guy, Elfrid Payton. He signed with the New Orleans Pelicans on a one-year deal. What were your thoughts on this one, guys?
Well, I guess it's a ready-made replacement for Rajon Rondo, a guy who's a decent passer, can't really shoot too well. But at the same time, you know, I think the Pelicans need to make another move to have a guard, because Elfrid Payton as a starter, you know, he's shown glimpses across his career, but at the same time, he's never reached a level of consistency that you need to sort of, you know, maintain a healthy sort of future in the NBA. So, you know, this is a good enough move. I'm interested to see how he sort of fits, you know, alongside Jrue Holiday as well. Obviously, Rondo and Holiday had a nice sort of synergy late into the season. You know, at least he's young, and then, you know, we don't know what his ceiling is yet. But at the same time, you know, there's question marks surrounding his game, and, you know, Pelicans fans probably know that as well.
Yeah, pretty much similar to what Jack said. He's been one of those players that you've seen glimpses from, and you haven't really had a chance to see whether he was going to tap into some deeper potential with the Magic, and even with the Suns especially. I think, they lost Rondo, like you said. I think it's good enough for now, but they're definitely going to need to do something in the near future if they want a better guard.
I don't necessarily hate it, because in New Orleans, he doesn't have a huge role. His role is going to be really to play defense and to do a little bit of the facilitating he can do. I mean, he has, you know, several triple-doubles to his name already. The issue with him is just the offense is so inconsistent. The jump shot's not very good. He did shave his hair, so maybe it won't get in the way of his jump shots. Because sometimes,
One time last year, he was trying to shoot the ball, and he hit his hair first, and he missed the shot.
Yeah, and the one time I saw, like, he was jumping, and, like, the hair, like, blocked him his vision from shooting, and he couldn't see. And he actually airballed the shot. But, you know, I think it's an okay sign. Obviously, they kind of knew Rondo was going to be on the way out, I feel. You know, maybe when they had talks with him, he said he was leaning in another direction, or they knew about the Lakers offer possibly. So for me, you know, I think it's a solid move. He's still young. If he can develop some sort of jump shot, he could be a decently good pick for them, because he can play better defense than Rondo can.
I know my guy Preston Ellis, he's a big Pelicans guy, and he also follows the Orlando Magic, does a pod for both of them. Check them out. They're on the OGG Podcast Network. He hates the move. And I can see why, just because Payton is so limited, and he kind of moved to Phoenix last year. They traded a second-round pick for him. He had a lot of opportunities to be kind of the guy, and he really just didn't show much. So, I mean, it's not like it's a big-time signing or anything. If he's coming off the bench, it's whatever. But like Jack said, they need to add another guard. You know, obviously, you can't really start Elfrid Payton, and I don't think Anthony Davis would be too happy if that was a starting lineup. But moving on to our next guy, Aaron Gordon, re-signed with Orlando Magic. No offer sheet necessary. 4-year, $84
million. Yeah, look, I think this works well for both parties. You know, the number sort of on paper, you know, sort of goes, oh, wow, that's a bit elevated. But, you know, Aaron Gordon, this is a potential signing as well. I've listened to the Dunked On podcast. And based off of, you know, salary going forward, it seems likely that they'll sort of front-end it in terms of obviously having that extra salary cap space going forward so they can sort of attract other free agents and such. You know, Aaron Gordon wasn't going to break the bank in a sense. He mentioned at the Uncle Drew premiere when he was on the red carpet that, you know, he hadn't been thinking about other teams and he only wants to come back to Orlando. It seems that they've sort of repaid the faith in that to an extent. But I'm hoping he can sort of continue to grow as a player, because if this is a signing for a player as he is now, then, you know, it's certainly, you know, eye-popping to say the least. But I think he's still got a ways to go as an NBA player, and, you know, hopefully he can sort of maybe reach that top 30 sort of player mark, you know, soon enough, because then that's the sort of mark that you want to be at this sort of contract.
Yeah, I think Aaron Gordon is probably in a position where he's the Orlando's guy of the future, and I think it's good. Like Jack said, if he doesn't progress any more, then obviously this is a little lofty, but I think that he does show that he has potential to become a much better player. I think that they need to move him to be playing the four a lot more than, because there are lots of rotations where they had him playing at small forward a lot, and I don't think that that's really fitting for his style of play. So if they can utilize him more properly as the time progresses, I think he can earn that money.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like if you were the Magic, that you had to bring back Aaron Gordon. You know, you couldn't let another young guy, you know, leave you and go develop elsewhere and become a star or a budding star. It would just decimate that franchise, which is already in some degree in shambles, because it just can't seem to get out of its own way. So I think you had to bring him back. It is, you know, $84 million is a lot of money for a guy like Aaron Gordon. But as I mentioned before, you know, I if he hits his peak, you know, ceiling, if he gets to where I think he could go, if he develops, you know, some sort of jump shot, he could be a really dominant offensive player who can play, you know, decently well defense. I don't know if the playmaking will ever get there, but he's already high flying. If he stays healthy, develops some sort of three-point shot like he has shown glimpses of, you know, he could be an all-star going forward.
What are your thoughts on the front court in Orlando? Obviously, it's a little bit crowded now. Obviously, Aaron Gordon being back, Isaac being there, and now drafting Mo Bamba. It's going to be tough to find minutes for all those guys, especially with what they have, or you expect them to make a move?
Yeah, I mean, the Magic should make a move in terms of, you know, there are rumors about Vucevic on his way out, you know, Bismack Biyombo, I don't know who's second that contract. You know, they'll probably have to they'll have to attach assets of some sort, to say the least. But yeah, you've got three really exciting young guys with a lot of potential in Gordon, Bamba, and Isaac, you know, all with different skill sets. For me, you know, you somehow have to find a way to make that work. Like Corey said, you don't play Aaron Gordon at the three. That's not the way of doing it. Maybe you stagger the minutes of Isaac and Bamba in a sense. But at the same time, you prioritize those three. And, you know, everyone else, you know, they still need a freaking point guard as well. And there's not
Jeremy
a lot
of Lin.
Jeremy Lin, Isaiah Thomas, who knows. But, yeah, I think that they need to find a way to prioritize those three guys going forward and find a way to make it work. Because, you know, those are their three best talents right now.
Yeah, I think they're going to try and make a move, like Jack said. Will they be able to make a move is a different question. You know, they just have an abundance of big guys, and none of them seem, to me at least, appealing. And I'm not sure what team they want to take on, you know, a Biyombo contract of $17 million. Vucevic for, you know, $12 million, maybe he's a little bit more interesting. I almost said his name right, or I was pretty damn close. but I don't think it's likely they can get one of these guys off the books, but they're going to try as hell.
Yeah, definitely be something to keep an eye on, a team that probably is active. And like Jack said, they need a guard. So they'll definitely be making a move, making a few calls. Moving to our next guy, Derek Favors re-signed with the Utah Jazz. 2 years, $36 million. Second year is not fully guaranteed. What are your thoughts on this one? A big payday for Favors.
Yeah, big payday for Derek Favors. They're certainly doing him some favors. I'll see myself out. Sorry, guys. Donovan Mitchell retweeted sort of saying, you know, dinner's on you, big boy. And look, it's a signing to sort of repay the faith of sorts. You know, Derek Favors, you know, from what I've heard, didn't take many meetings and was all his focus was on coming back to Utah. The fit still with Rudy Gobert isn't amazing, but at the same time, you know, Rudy Gobert had a lot of injuries last season. So, you know, I still see, you know, Favors as a five in today's modern NBA. So him starting at the four is going to be interesting. But at the same time, yeah, a non-guaranteed deal, it certainly works better for the Utah Jazz in that sense. But and at the same time, you know, a great teammate, you know, does a lot of good things. But it seems a bit high. But at the same time, you know, the cap space going forward, as we've heard that the NBA released just a couple of days ago, is going to get higher and higher. So these sort of short-term high deals aren't going to be so shocking going forward.
See, I actually really like this Utah Jazz team. They're But with the exception of a few bench pieces, I think they're pretty well stacked. The backcourt of Rubio and Mitchell, I think that worked out well. And Mitchell is only going to go up from here. I think Favors, like AQ said, it's kind of a hard time to fit him at the four when he clearly plays like a center. But with him and Rudy Gobert as defensive player of the year at the moment, I think that this is – and Joe Ingles – obviously, a great three-point shooter. I think this is a great lineup. They just need a couple more bench pieces, and maybe they can do something like that near the rest of the offseason.
Do you know Jazz signing Derek Favors? I like it for a team standpoint. You know, you're bringing back a guy who's obviously been a key part of this team the last several years. When Rudy Gobert went down, Derek Favors stepped up hugely and was a big part of the reason why they were able to stay competitive with him down for so long. It's a little much for me, the $18 million. Obviously, the second year isn't fully guaranteed, which is good. You know, there wasn't anywhere else for them to spend this money. They didn't have a ton of targets out there. The fit of Favors next to Gobert is still very questionable, but I think Favors still has mostly a six-man type of role with that team. But I'm okay with it because there really wasn't another move for the Jazz to make, and you bring back a guy who's been a good locker room guy and a hard worker.
Yeah, and it's definitely something to keep an eye on. That second year not being fully guaranteed makes him a little bit more tradable. you know, say hypothetically, just throwing this out there, Jack's brought this up before, Kevin Love to the Jazz. You know, you could trade Derek Favors. Now Cleveland's like, all right, we can get his numbers off the book next year, or we can keep him if we want. It's pretty much just a one-year deal at $18 million. So they overpaid him to keep him for this year. And then there's been a lot of talk about Favors adding to his game and adding a three-point shot. If you were to add a three-point shot, that would help the spacing of the Jazz so much. So that's something to keep an eye on as well. But next re-signing, J.J. Redick re-signed with Philly, 1 year, $12 million. This one was kind of expected, especially after LeBron went to L.A.
Yeah, it was. I think it works out. He was always going to stay on in the Eastern Conference due to family commitments and, you know, that sort of his priorities there. So it made the most sense. We brought up him as a minor possibility to go to our Nets, who I would have loved. He's my girlfriend's favorite player as well. So that would have been nice, getting my girlfriend on board with the Nets, get another fan. but at the same time, yeah, I think that, you know, the Sixers finally made a move going forward, because they've been rumored to be doing all these different things, the Kawhi sweepstakes and such. But this move makes the most sense. You know, get one of the best three-point shooters in the game, and he was invaluable to them last year, especially in terms of their spacing.
Yeah, I think he was a really good fit in Philadelphia last year. And like you said, it was pretty much expected, especially after LeBron went to L.A. I think that with the loss of both Bellinelli and Ilyasova this offseason, I think J.J. Redick is going to have a bit of an increased role from a three-point shooting perspective, at least. So I think that this is definitely a must-sign for them. It was a good move.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he got his big payday last year. He gets a still a decent payday at, what, 12, yeah. 13 million?
12 yep. million, yep.
12 million. That's, I mean, to me, that's perfect for a guy like J.J. at his point of his career. You know, he's still a three-point shooter. He can still do a lot of things. He's a very good vet, a very good leader. I think he's one of the few guys who's always been in the playoffs. Like every year of his yep. career, he's been in the playoffs, which is very impressive. So I like them bringing him back. For me, for the Sixers, it's a really good move. You know, with LeBron gone, you're now, you know, the second or best team, second or first best team in the East. So keeping the team you have and just get some more chemistry together, I don't think it's a bad thing.
Yeah, and it's flexible. It works out for both sides. One-year deal, $12 million. You know, the Sixers want to go after a big fish next year. They'll still have cap space possibly. And J.J. could kind of cash out next year if he wanted to sign a long-term deal. So not a bad thing. And like you guys mentioned, they definitely could use a three-point shooting when you have Ben Simmons who can't shoot the three. Having a guard that's an elite three-point shooter definitely helps with that. Nerlens Noel signed with OKC. Two-year deal, $3.7 million. Second-year player option. What are your thoughts on this one?
Nice signing by the Thunder as well. It increases their luxury cap, mind you. I don't think that they'll make some moves. They'll find a way to sort of, you know, create some space for themselves. But, yeah, there were some other teams after him. I know I talked about with Nick on JBT last night that, you know, he wouldn't mind him on the Wizards. You know, a nice, young, power forward center who's got tremendous defensive upside. We've mentioned that on the Buzz as well, Nick. Plenty of shout-outs happening here. I like it. When the OTG network's that big, you've got to do it. But yeah, a nice signing for the Thunder. You know, pairing him with Steven Adams, they're going to be scary defensively, especially with Andre Roberson and Paul George as well.
Yeah, I think that was a really good signing as well, because coming off the bench behind Steven Adams, which I'm assuming will probably be his role, unless they can convince Carmelo to come off the bench, which is unlikely, obviously. But I think it's interesting with the whole situation in Dallas, because didn't Dallas offer him more money last year and he declined?
Yeah, but like a four-year, $68 million deal.
Yeah, he would have gotten
it. It was rumored that deal never truly existed, that there was an extension, but it wasn't quite to that amount. I don't know if you want to believe it, but there was a report from the Noel side saying that he never got an offer like that. But I'm sure they offered him something and he turned it down.
It's just weird that the Thunder would be willing to even take him after. I mean, I can't even remember the last time I saw him play. But I think it's a good pickup if he can perform.
Yeah, I mean, apparently the pitch I heard was aggressive. So, I mean, OKC really wanted Noel for whatever reason. I mean, not for whatever reason, because we have seen glimpses. We know there's potential there. You know, he's a rim runner. He's, you know, he's got good length. Offensively, he may never be anything substantial, but for him to be a defensive floor guy to back up Steven Adams would be perfect for OKC. You know, I think it was a good move. Now it's cheap, obviously, so now you just have to see if he's able to, you know, work hard. We've heard rumors that the kid doesn't want to work hard. He's kind of lazy at times. So if he comes in with a good energy and he works hard and he earns a rotation spot, he could be beneficial to that OKC team, which looks like they're going to be, you know, a team that comes at you with a lot of defense, and they, you know, their scoring is going to come from their two and a half stars.
Hopefully they have good hot dogs out in OKC as well.
Yeah, honestly, though, I do like the Noel signing if he's able to get back. And I think Westbrook could kind of get after him. Steven Adams has been known as a great teammate, great locker room guy. And Noel provides you a little bit different defensive mentality because of his versatility. He's a guy you can kind of get away playing against the Warriors because he's so mobile. He can kind of run around on the perimeter a little bit and provides them. And like Corey said, I think the mentality in OKC is going to be defense. It just looks like they're trying to become a defensive monster. But next guy, Anthony Tolliver, signed with Minnesota, 1 year, $5.8 million. Gives him a stretch four, some shooting that was much needed.
Man, Minnesota made a good move. it seems very rare from coach GM Tom Thibodeau. But, yeah, he was sought after. Well, I think we mentioned his name in jest with the Los Angeles Clippers in the last outlet as well. So the fact that Minnesota were able to get a guy that was sought after shows that they must be doing something right, shows that the pitch must be right, shows that he must be getting minutes of some sort. Obviously, they also renounced the rights to Nemanja Bjelica as well. So obviously that creates even more minutes for him, even though Bjelica was only a backup spot. But yeah, it creates some spacing for them. You know, they can play him in lineups, if Taj Gibson were not to be there, maybe in a small forward, who knows, as well. But yeah, it gives him some flexibility and some defense. Nice move from Minnesota on this one.
Yeah, I agree entirely with you on that one, Jack. I think this might be some good news for Minnesota after seeing that Derrick Rose was going to stick around.
Oh!
I love Derrick Rose, just the old Derrick Rose. But I think, Tolliver would be a good defender for them as well. It would be a good piece on the bench because that's always been a question in Minnesota. But yeah, I think overall, good move.
I like it. It's a guy who's played some pretty big rotational minutes for the Pistons the last couple of years. Last year, I think he played with the Kings too a couple of years ago. He can shoot the long ball a little bit. He's got a decent stroke to him. He can rebound. A tougher guy. I think he fits right in with what the Minnesota Timberwolves are trying to identify as, or trying to identify as under Tom Thibodeau.
Yeah, he's always been known as, I think, a pretty good locker room guy. Last year, he shot 43% from three. So definitely gives them some nice spacing at that big position. They can definitely use that with some of the guys they have. You know, a guy like Derrick Rose who doesn't really shoot the three, or some of the guards that aren't great shooters. So that kind of helps them out a lot. Not a bad signing, like Jack said and you guys mentioned. So next one, Jose Calderon, signed with Detroit, 1 year, $2.4 million.
We're bringing some nice hams out in Detroit now. Not sure what the ham farm market is like out there, but yeah, backup point guard. Good to see Jose Calderon still getting some games. He had very fleeting moments for the Cavs, but you know it was nice to watch him play. You know, he's a decent enough veteran point guard in terms of that market as well. It's interesting to see them go that way because I know that Tony Parker, his name has been mentioned a little bit as an unrestricted free agent. But yeah, you need a backup point guard or a third string point guard. Jose Calderon certainly fits that mold.
I think one thing I noticed from watching Calderon last year is he has a good mind as a point guard in basketball. He's able to kind of run the floor at an acceptable rate, especially for a team that's trying to get into the playoffs like Detroit. He's a good passer. He can shoot the three most of the time. And, overall, I mean, even for his age, a decent offensive player and not even the worst point guard that they're going to have, I don't think.
The only thing I've seen about Jose Calderon from at least like the Pistons guys I follow is they were very confused on why the Pistons didn't want to go into the hard cap for Tolliver, but were okay with doing it for Calderon. I guess they all wanted Tolliver back. That was a guy who I see, most guys rooting for. As you mentioned, Jack, I believe, you know, he's a good locker room guy. The Pistons let him go for Calderon, and Calderon's interesting. I mean, with how many times Reggie Jackson goes down because of an injury, because unfortunately he has the knee tendonitis, which doesn't go away. Jose Calderon can possibly play some good veteran minutes for them. He can still score. He showed that with the Cavaliers. He just simply can't play much defense, but I don't think it's a bad fit necessarily.
Yeah, it's not. It's like Jose Calderon's a guy you're not probably going to play him a lot. He's going to be a good locker room guy, like Dom mentioned. He's got a good head and his shoulders, can kind of teach some of the young guys some things and probably keep things a little bit balanced out there. Next guy, Mike Scott, signed with the Clippers, 1 year deal. Thoughts on this one? Mike Scott had a really nice postseason last year too.
Yeah, he did. I think, you know, adding a little bit of depth can't hurt to the Clippers roster. You know, they certainly have higher expectations, higher goals in terms of their free agency for the next year or two. But, you know, it can't hurt to, you know, fill out that roster with a guy like Mike Scott.
Yeah, I actually have a close friend of mine who's a Wizards fan, and he was pretty sad to see him go. I think that Mike Scott gave him some good energy, and it looks like almost 9 points a game. Not bad production, especially with all the controversy that was going on with the Wizards this year. I think he'll give him some good shooting, a little bit of size, especially now that DeAndre Jordan's not there anymore. Yeah, I think it's a good pickup for them.
I mean, for the Clippers, who are obviously going in rebuild mode, Mike Scott is a good guy to have. You know, he played some good minutes with the Wizards. At one point in time, I thought he couldn't miss. His jump shot has almost become automatic. It actually looks really smooth. So he can shoot the ball. He'll be a nice transition piece for the Clippers, who obviously, as we know, are going, you know, full on pretty much tank mode.
Yeah, it's a good signing. I was actually kind of surprised that more like contending teams weren't interested in Mike Scott, just because he could provide something off the bench, being one of those bigs that can shoot the ball. He was like instant offense for the Wizards last year. But any other notes you guys or signings you wanted to touch on?
Not the biggest sort of day for it. You know, I don't think there was the rumors going around and the available free agents. You know, I'm interested to see how the next couple of days plays out, because, you know, Woj and Zach Lowe, as we've mentioned before, I think it's going to be an extended sort of extended period for free agency. And, you know, how they're going to fill out that Lakers team, I think, is the biggest question on everyone's minds. But also what's going to happen with Kawhi. So still plenty of moves to play out.
And the cap's dried up for a lot of teams. There's not many teams with cap out there right now.
I didn't even realize until Corey mentioned it earlier in the podcast that the Lakers, for the most part, just ate up a large amount of that extra max slot they had. So I was a little bit shocked by that move, but like Jack said, it's going to be pretty interesting to see what they do, especially with the whole Kawhi situation heating up.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the rumors, too, have kind of just died down, like on, you know, guys like Capella, Cousins, you know, Randall's. We haven't heard anything about Randall really. Smart. Like you guys mentioned, there's not a lot of cap out there. And it's weird that we're only on day two, and it looks like we're in for a slower, as you mentioned, Nick, a longer free agency.
The one interesting thing, too, is that a lot of teams aren't going to have cap space. So some of these good teams could end up getting players on cheap deals just because the money's not out there. They'll get them on a one-year deal. Don't be surprised to see somebody take a really big discount to play with the Warriors or hypothetically play with the Lakers, the Rockets, even possibly like the Celtics, the Sixers. Like, there's not a ton of cap, and the teams are looking to win, and they know next year there's going to be more money, so why not take the chance? I mean, just a couple guys that are really interesting that are still out there. Clint Capella, obviously, DeMarcus Cousins, Jabari Parker, Julius Randle, Isaiah Thomas. You know, there hasn't even really been rumblings about these guys. Zach LaVine. So still a lot of guys out there, just there's not a lot of money out there.
Oh, can I add one signing that I think, well, rumor, at least it's not a signing at the moment, but I have heard a lot of speculation about the mutual interest between the Warriors and Jamal Crawford.
Yeah.
I just think that would be an amazing fit, and I would like to see Jamal Crawford get some rings, or one ring, depending on how long he stays.
Yeah, true.
He can't be much worse than Nick Young.
I think it'll be a decent amount better. Jamal Crawford, though.
Funnily enough, at BetMyBookie has the championship odds for next season. The Lakers are the favorites, guys, ahead of the Warriors and Rockets and Celtics.
No, stop it.
Go on that website right now and put money down on the Warriors.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I need a link to that shit. I'll bet my house on it.
How is that possible?
They didn't even get Kawhi yet. If they get Kawhi, I mean, it's a conversation to have, but they don't have Kawhi yet. And the Spurs,
who's even their second best player? Their second best player is so questionable too.
It's probably Brandon Ingram, right?
Yeah, probably Ingram. I mean, when you have to start Kuzma and Ingram and then JaVale McGee. I just don't think that's beating the Warriors.
Don't shoot the messenger, lads. Just reporting. I'm just a reporter.
No, Jack, make yourself some money. I think Marcus Smart's another guy that's very interesting, and I haven't heard one rumbling about him at all.
I think he's going to take the qualifying.
Yeah, it seems more likely he's going to go back to Boston for that qualifying offer because the money's so dried up, and then next year maybe go after some big bucks. But that about wraps it up, guys. As always, thank you for hopping on. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And like I mentioned before, check out all the pods on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, and Google Play.